Hello and welcome to Strat News Global Podcast. I'm Nitin Gokhale. In this edition, I spoke to two Russian experts from the Valdai Discussion Club, one of the prominent think tanks in Moscow. And we spoke in detail about what Russia thinks of the world order or the world disorder and its relationship with India, which they described as something special and beyond the normal parameters of relationships between nations. Do take a listen. Dr. Andre, I want to start with you. First of all, what brings you to India and what are you looking at in terms of relationship between India and Russia?
I think that we are living in the very hard, complicated time, and generally we can see emerging of the new world order. It's very very serious time for discussions, for communications, because our main idea to try to image this future, to try to to discuss main features of this future, to think about our constructive cooperation in creation of this future. Our own think tank, and like Vivekananda Foundation, both organizations, the main goal, the main task of this organization is to discuss, to describe this future, some models, to see obstacles, challenges, and everything. It's and our main purpose to speak about most important issues of contemporary world agenda, to speak about conflicts, to speak about way of cooperation between our countries and how we can live in contemporary world, how we can improve it, how we can create well-balanced and relatively comfortable system for everybody.
That's great. In fact, I was listening to you at the Vivekananda International Foundation today in the closed door session. And very interestingly, you described the world as being in disorder. And you said, if I got it correctly, old ideas of globalization are upended and regulated relationships are a thing of the past.
Yes, that's my point. And more than that, I try to argue that disorder is a normal situation for international relations, because order, we had the privilege, our generation,
yes.
We had the privilege to live in a very much well-ordered world. But that was not what the history of international relations demonstrates us. And if we look at the previous centuries, periods with any kind of order are very rare, while the whole normal chaotic development is just how international relations used to look like. And now we are moving from a pretty comfortable period. And paradoxically, probably, I include in this comfortable period the Cold War as well.
Sure.
Because the Cold War was not the best time in international history, but it was a pretty well organized and predictable period for all countries, for India
sure.
as well. Yeah. Mm. And now we are moving towards something completely different. And my point, based on the initial concept, is that in this new world, each country bears bigger responsibility to protect itself and to guarantee its own development.
True. And I think what I found fascinating is your remark that intuition and instincts may take over policy making.
Yeah, that's what we see. First of all, we see that leaders, persons, mm-hmm. are now more important than institutions. I think there's everywhere. India is not an example. India has a very strong leader.
Sure.
Russia as well. Yeah. And if they are persons who decide, then of course instincts and feelings and sentiments are more important.
True. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. But since you came to India and you had these meetings, what is it that Wildlife Discussion Club is looking for with the Vivekananda International Foundation? Are you into some partnership, some arrangement? Are you going to do some joint research?
Everything is possible in Russia and in India. And there is no limits for all of us, for our foundation and for Vivekananda Foundation. Well, first of all, I think we will continue our contacts and our meetings. I hope that maybe it's possible to create some common documents, some reports, some articles about contemporary situation. And of course, we need some some foundation for our future constructions. And for this, we have to describe the situation. And during morning session today, there was a suggestion to prepare maybe in some months, common report.
A vision document was spoken about.
About Russian perspective, Indian's perspectives, to compare it, to detect most painful points, to detect the some direction of development. It's a typical analytical work, and I hope we will follow this in this direction. Vivekananda Foundation, it seems to me, it's a very good partner for this, and very very well prepared for this, and I hope so. A lot of brilliant expert on the Indian side.
True.
It's even more important.
Yes.
A lot of brilliant experts, but just in this foundation, the Vivekananda Foundation, there are several persons with enormously rich experience working with Russia, including our good friend Ambassador Varma, used to be Ambassador
Venkatesh Varma, yes.
And there are plenty of different think tanks in India, absolutely great institutions, but we really think that Vivekananda is better situated to work with us.
True. Yes, because in our meeting participated today 14 former ambassadors.
That's right.
In key countries.
Yes.
And, Russia, United States, Israel, and so on. So
absolutely.
China,
yes. In fact, all of them were there. But like I think most speakers, I heard them talking about it, that India-Russia bilateral relationship needs new drivers and new commitment going forward. What do you think can be the new drivers for the India-Russia bilateral relationship?
You know, there are two aspects of our relationship. First of all, the relationship in the past was exemplary.
Sure.
So probably we cannot find any country which record for Russia would be better than India.
True.
Even with China, we had very close relationship for a while in 20th century, but it ended up in a big conflict.
Absolutely.
But never with India.
Mm.
Now, of course, built upon this legacy,
mm-hmm.
But we need something new. I think the general agreement at our session was that we need much more economy.
Right.
Because on the one hand, strategically, geostrategically, we have a lot in common, but at the same time, we have a lot which distinct us. And we are very much aware that our Indian friends are concerned about Russian-Chinese development.
Sure.
which is understandable, given the relationship between India and China. But at the same time, I think that we try and we do our best to explain to our Indian friends that at this particular point, a relationship with China is absolutely indispensable for Russia. Not just because of the crisis with the West we have, but also, of course, if you have a neighbor like China, which is such a strong and such a promising partner, it would be stupid not to engage in a very serious relationship. But that means that Russia needs to diversify relationships as much as possible, and India is a natural partner to do it. Mm-hmm. As for practical areas, I think we need much more technologically driven areas, because even despite some problems Russia experienced in recent decades, our high-tech capacity is very high, Indian high-tech capacity is very high, and we are, what is important in our relationship, because both India and Russia might have special relationships with other partners, but we can be sure about India and you can be sure about Russia, mm-hmm. that this is a choice by us and by you.
Yes.
It's not choice by anybody else to impose relationship.
Not dictated by a third party. So in that context, one thing before I come on to more contemporary issues is, does Russia have any concerns about India's perceived or real tilt towards the West or the United States in particular?
There are discussions in Russia and there are people who are not happy about this. I think that the severe moment when Russia was pretty nervous about that is over. And we start to understand, and we started to understand that it's absolutely normal in the new world that any country tries to diversify relationships and to use all opportunities which are opening up.
Right.
Rather the opposite, the binding alignment and alliances, it's not how the future will look like. I think the only binding community which we still have is NATO, but we will see how long it will last.
So talking about NATO, where is the conflict or war with Ukraine right now, which is basically a war with NATO? In some of our people's view, how do you situate the current situation as far as the conflict is concerned?
Current situation, from my point of view, is not bad, and in some sense better than, for instance, 1 year ago, a little bit more. We see that, yes, of course, there is a conflict with NATO, no doubt, but at the same time, Russia, despite some expectations, not bad, and Russian economy is even growing. Russian society, from my point of view, in good conditions, and this conflict probably I don't know how long it will be continued. Today's situation generally, I think, in many senses, positive.
Do you think there's an end in sight, or what is the end objective that Russia may have in your assessment?
You know, the end objective has never been clearly declared, and this is part of the game.
Right.
Because no one, let us be honest, the initial plan has failed quite quickly.
Right.
And after that, the design of this campaign was being created during the campaign.
As it went along.
Yeah, as it went along. It happens frequently, sure. Not only to our country, unfortunately.
Right.
Any war is pretty unpredictable.
True.
I don't know whether we can expect this year, 24, to be the last year of this conflict. I would wish it with all my heart. Because, of course, this is an enormous tragedy which is happening between two nations which are extremely connected to each other. To some extent, we find it's a conflict with the significant element of a civil war,
true.
Which is the worst one.
Yes.
But at the same time, as we can judge, the Russian leadership is very much committed not to accept temporary solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So the solution is to decipher the slogans, the denazification, the militarization. This is creation of a Ukraine, Ukrainian state, which would be not anti-Russian, so it means regime change, and which will be limited in military and geopolitical capacity. And I think that President Putin is very much keen to achieve those goals by any means.
True. And I think he has, I mean, the country is in a position to sustain this war. Like you mentioned, economy is far better than it was, say, 1 year ago. Even the military situation is far better than it was 1 year ago. So in that context, now has Russia started looking at other aspects of the global churn that is happening? And of course, you have a good relationship with China. You also don't have a bad relationship with India. But in terms of multipolarity that we spoke about, is it going to be some kind of an attempt on Russia's part to have a third bloc? There is a Western-led alliance or a US-led alliance. There is a global south, which India is trying to become one of the leading nations there. What about Russia, China, and the bloc led by Russia, China? Is there a possibility?
I don't think we can speak about a bloc led by Russia, China.
Okay.
Russia and China and India are countries which will never engage in binding relationships.
True.
No alliances.
Okay.
We know that Soviet Union had an alliance, but in fact it was no alliance.
Right.
It was just a bunch of depending countries.
Right.
And the same for many big NATO to some extent. So United States are so much supreme over others that they don't limit their sovereignty because of Europeans do, but they. So I don't believe in any blocs.
Mm-hmm.
But what I believe is that Russia is turning towards the global south,
mm-hmm.
Not to lead the global south towards something. The role which Russian campaign in Ukraine is playing for mm-hmm. international affairs is to demonstrate, actually, and people in the global south see it, that U.S. supremacy has very significant limits. And since many countries saw it, so you see how much different they started to behave. Countries which normally used to be very much loyal towards the United States, be it Turkey, be it Gulf monarchies, be it many countries in Africa or in Southeast Asia, they now believe that they need to be flexible.
Look after themselves.
Look after themselves, look after all opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens very, very quickly. That's fantastic. I didn't expect this. And in this regard, I don't believe we can and should expect any China-Russia-led something. But we should expect, say, 5 years from now, a completely different composition of the world.
Inshallah, as they say in Pakistan, but
absolutely, Russia is paving way to the future, and it's very important process. And from my point of view, I absolutely agree with brother. Russia is looking for balance, and will try to create principles of this world, principles comfortable for everybody, for. A little just situation. In this case, Russia will not try to find one direction. No, Russia will try to give opportunity for everybody, for all countries and other entities to find own way and try to avoid deep contradiction and conflicts. It's not easy, but it's possible because future world should be very, very flexible and comfortable for decision makers. Of course, it takes a lot of creativity and discussion. What we are doing now?
I'm not sure it will be very much comfortable for decision makers, but
very
demanding.
Very demanding, but that's a good note to on which end our conversation. I think great insights, and thank you very much, because we rarely get Russian point of view in India, and we discussed in the morning that we need more interactions and more exchanges of views. I suppose that's a good beginning, I thought. But
we are always at your disposal.
Absolutely. So we will come back to you on this. But thank you very much for coming here, and have a great visit to Agra and a look at the Taj Mahal as you're planning. And thank you very much for your time.